So my guest today is Ophelia Noble, who's the executive director of the Vancouver-based Noble Foundation, and she is also with Southwest Washington Communities United for Change and the Pacific Northwest-wide X Project. So tell us a little bit about what's been going on in Vancouver. I think that police shootings in Portland have been getting significantly more visibility in the region compared to police shootings in Vancouver, but it sounds like there's been a significant escalation in the Vancouver PD's use of lethal force.
Over the last 6 months, we have experienced 4 shootings by Vancouver police officers, and out of those 4 shootings, 3 were people of color, 3 resulted in death, and all 4 were marginalized community members. And there's a lot of concern around our community of color as to the motive of the shootings, the response from police officers, and a lot of frustration.
So the most recent one was a 43-year-old black man named Carlos Hunter?
Carlos Hunter, yes. And prior to Carlos Hunter was Michael Pierce. Prior to Michael Pierce was a 16-year-old Clayton Joseph.
And Clayton had just moved from Micronesia about a year before. He was a high school student.
That is our understanding. Yes, he attended Evergreen High School. Yeah.
And then there was one other police shooting?
Yes. The first shooting was a result of a police chase along I-5 from Vancouver. Well, it went through Vancouver over into Portland and shut down I-84 in December of 2018.
Our most recent shooting was in March.
Was on March 7th. Carlos Hunter, African-American, shot several times after a police stop in Hazeldale.
So the Columbian did an article on March 10th in which they reported that there had been a total of 28 police shootings in Vancouver in 25 years, 16 of which were lethal shootings. Okay. So in response to the most recent police shooting of Carlos Hunter, the Vancouver police chief, James McElvain, is quoted in a story by OPB from March 11th stating that officers should stay the course. That's the quote, stay the course, that there's nothing particularly disturbing that merits reevaluation.
Yes, that is the statement that he made. Actually, our coalition attended a neighborhood association meeting shortly after this article was released, and there was that same sense of quote-unquote business as usual tone in his responses. What our community is really trying to understand and grapple with is how our police department does not understand how significant 4 shootings, with 3 of those shootings being people of color, marginalized community members, is an issue that should be on the top of everyone's radar. It needs to be very special and focused attention. There were 3 within 3 weeks. Between March 7th, if we count back 3 weeks, or 4 weeks, there were 3 of those 4 shootings happened within that time span.
There's not any kind of, essentially, there isn't a cop watch organization in Southwest Washington, and so you all are rapidly kind of retooling and organizing to try to address this.
Yes, and I think that speaks to one of the larger concerns that we've experienced in Southwest Washington in general is the lack of progressive activism, the lack of infrastructure support for community-based organizations to be responsive in any way, let alone rapidly respond when situations like this arise. I cannot say in the 30-plus years I've lived in Southwest Washington, specifically Vancouver, that I can remember a season in Vancouver of police shootings as rampant as it felt February and March. We are slowly, slowly building the infrastructure to respond to our community concerns.
Do you think that the escalation of police force in Vancouver is connected to the shifting demographics of the community?
Absolutely, absolutely. I believe that the gentrification process of Northeast Portland has really, you know, bolstered our community of color in the Southwest Washington region, which we're seeing, you know, people of color now moving into areas such as Battleground, Ridgefield, Kelso, Longview, due to the ridiculously high housing costs in Vancouver. What we do know is that through some of the work that we have been doing with like Evergreen High Schools and the education system, that our students of color population is about 20 to 25%
of the Vancouver
of the
school
education,
district.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Between Vancouver School District and Evergreen School District.
Okay, and it looks like of those 16 lethal shootings, mm-hmm. that all 16 of those lethal shootings have been upheld by an internal police review process as warranted, as justifiable use of force. So mm-hmm. that doesn't send a particularly positive message about, you know, the kind of critical nature of internal police reviews in Vancouver. Are there new mechanisms that are emerging for kind of community oversight and investigation of police shootings? Is that part of what you all are pushing for?
Right now, what we are working on is a campaign, Justice for Carlos campaign, as a coalition. The Vancouver Police Department did request an external review of this case. And by external review, they looked at CAMIS to provide that review. We are pushing that a non-connected agency organization come in and review the facts of the case and potentially the findings of the preliminary show of facts that has been completed by the Camas Police Department, which was used to return Sergeant Boyles, well, it was completed by Sergeant Boyles, but officers Dennis Devlin and Colton Price of the Vancouver Police Department have been cleared to return to work. We're waiting for two remaining reports, which may take up to 6 months to receive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to be clear, I think I said earlier that it was an internal police investigation into the shootings that have determined that they were justifiable use of force, when in fact those shootings, I think, were being reviewed by the prosecutor's office in Vancouver, mm-hmm. which is quite clearly, you know, very closely aligned with the Vancouver PD. And when you're talking about these police shootings being reviewed by, you know, so-called objective agencies that are, you know, in very, very close proximity and engage, you know, together in interagency police trainings, and mm-hmm. these departments are all very, very closely aligned. So I think, you know, clearly there are questions about the objectivity of the CAMIS PD evaluating shooting within the Vancouver PD.
Being that we have not had an infrastructure, we are really just trying to be very intentional on the work that we are doing to support the family.
So particularly Southwest Washington Communities United for Change, you've been really involved in turning out community for Vancouver City Council meetings to really bring the concerns of communities of color forward to the City Council. Is this one of the arenas that you're also kind of working on for addressing police shootings?
Yes, absolutely. We began kind of thought bubbling about 5 years ago. What is the infrastructure that we need so our community can have support when they need to stand up, when they need to have their voices heard, when they want to push back against policy. And what we realized is that we really needed a dedicated C4 structure in our community that was led by a person of color. And I want to definitely kind of qualify that in saying that Southwest Washington Communities United for Change is a community-based grassroots organization in juxtaposition to some of the more grass-top organizations. And so 4 years ago, the foundation, with the support of Northwest Health Foundation, really began intentional steps, and we're just now seeing the kind of fruit of that labor coming into community, being able to hold community-based meetings, receive feedback from the community, and allowing the community to lead how this organization responds, reacts, and holds other organizations accountable, our political structures, our social, environmental systems accountable for harms that are happening within communities. So it's a relatively new development in Southwest Washington. I think we are at this tipping point where we're recognizing that without social justice, right, without the redistribution of wealth generally and specifically funding and, you know, to move programming forward, a lot of our community-based organizations in Southwest Washington that are led by people of color are not noted, are not known of, and they're just there's a disconnect between community and leadership, and we're hopeful that SWCUC is able to fill that void.
You know, it does seem as though there's generally a kind of disconnect between Portland and Vancouver with respect to dealing with issues of police violence. I mean, we have a lot of organizing going on this side of the river, but we tend not to see Vancouver police violence as sort of part of this broader picture of a changing region, even when some of this violence is likely being directed at people who are being gentrified out of Portland into Vancouver.
Are there ways
in which our listeners can become involved in this issue and can support the work that you're doing?
Absolutely. I think reaching out to either the Noble Foundation, we do have a website, a Facebook page as well, reaching out to Southwest Washington Communities United for Change. We're very visible. We've held rally. We've held a march in Vancouver. And so the hope is really to not only seek justice for Carlos Hunter, but for all the other victims of the Vancouver police. And in order for that to happen, we need support. We need folks from Portland, you know, coming to Vancouver and providing resources and tools and best practices. And we're a little behind, but I believe we're catching up. So, you know, just reach out to any of us. Carmen McKibben with SWCUC. Email address is swcuc@gmail.com or info@thenoblefoundation.org.
I think there's a tendency to say, recognize that there is a sort of white supremacist troublemakers that people are seeing on this side of the bridge as well. And they're like, you know, send them back to Vancouver, without much of a recognition of the fact that Vancouver has an embattled community of color that is trying to fight back against these dynamics and need solidarity from Portland activists as well.
That's right.
My guest today has been Ophelia Noble of she's the executive director of the Noble Foundation and also with Southwest Washington Communities United for Change and the X Project. Ophelia, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Desiree. I appreciate the time.
Cyborg, Android, D-boy, decoy, border, wisdom, tightrope, vision, insight, stronghold, heartless, ice cold, mystery, mastery, solar.
Some will pull the gun because they want to be soft. Snatching up your life into